Joshua chapter 3, in this new year, we need a guide. I'm telling you, we need a guide just like the nation of Israel did, because each hour, each day, each week, each month, each year, we are going into the unknown. This year, I've never lived before. I've never lived this year that we're going into. And I may not live all the way through this year. We don't know. But we need a guide to the unknown. We never know what a new year holds or a new day holds, but we know who holds the new year and know who holds the new day. So in Joshua chapter 3, the nation of Israel is for our example and have example as they're moving through a new uncharted area, an unknown land they've never lived before, a way they never traveled before, and they're crossing the Jordan River. So we want to find out exactly what they done to make such a great blessing and what they seen, because you and I, we have the same example for us today. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He was the same God back in the nation of Israel when they was in the land of Canaan, going into the land of Canaan. He was the same God in the Garden of Eden, same God today for you and I. We think that these people are special some of the way that we're not, but God loves us all. And we want to thank for the love of God, to think this morning that he loves you. And there's nothing that you can do to cause him to love you any less, nothing that you can do to cause him to love you any more. He loves you because he is God. Thank the Lord for that. He don't love me the way I perform, how I behave, or what I am. He loves me because of who he is. And I want to thank you, Lord, this morning. In verses 1, we see the nation of Israel getting ready to cross over Jordan. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went throughout the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites of the covenant of the Lord your God, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yea, there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits of my measure. That's about a half a mile. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go. For you have not passed this way hereunto for. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Wonders among you. And that's for you and I today. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for the presence of today. Father, we want to thank you for the sweet spirit that we know that's with us today. It's with us and it's also around us. And we just want to thank you for your presence. Without you, we would be nothing here this morning. Father, we want to give you all the glory and honor, Lord, that you're due to your precious and holy name. Father, we just pray today that someone, Lord, has never accepted you here in this service. Lord, the day will be the day of salvation. Father, we know that you will move upon, Lord, the people here this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of the word and the power of the Spirit of God, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts in a very, very special way. And Lord, we just want to thank you again for letting us be part of this great day. Amen, amen. It says in this verse of Scripture 5, tomorrow, sometime during this year, tomorrow might be tomorrow, as we know it as Monday, the Lord will do wonders. Now the background of these verses of Scripture in this chapter, know that Israel has been walking around in the desert for 40 years. Right after they left Egypt, they come right out of Egypt, went to Mount Sinai, they could have marched right on in to the Canaan land. You know that Moses sent 12 of the spies out, one for each tribe of the nation of Israel, to go in and spy out the land. 10 of them come back and says, we can't take it. 2 of them said we could, Joshua and Caleb. And that was unbelief. The majority won. You see, the majority is wrong most of the time anyway. But God says, from your unbelief that everybody from 20 years older, when you come out of Egypt, from 20 years older, you're going to die in the wilderness. So God gave them covenant. God gave them the illustration to make the tabernacle, and they marched around in that desert for 40 years till every one of those people died from 20 years older and older, except Joshua and Caleb. When the last one died, it don't say in the scripture, when the last one died, now they're at the edge of the Jordan River again after 40 years. Now they're getting ready to cross over this Jordan River. After 40 long years, they're on the brink here of this blessing, and they're ready to cross over into the land of opportunity. Between them, and they know it's a land of opportunity, between them and the land of opportunity, there is a raging river of difficulties. This is an example for you and I today. God's got a blessing for each one of us this coming year, maybe tomorrow, might be next week. But between you and the blessing that we would receive, there's a river of difficulties many times in our life. It might be sickness. It might be our job. You know, it may be many, many different things. But Joshua's telling them how to possess their possession, victory in the land. Never been this way before. You never had this enjoyment. You never had all this great victory that you have in this land that's flowing with milk and honey. Houses that you did not build, vineyards that you did not plant. You're going to sit under the fig tree. All these possessions that you might enjoy. The application for you and I today is the very, very same of this new year. Verse 3 again, it says, here's the key. When you see the ark move, go after it. Why? What's the reason? Because that you've never been this way before. We're going to see for you and I what the ark really means to us. The ark, what meant to them, the Ark of the Covenant, was a treasure chest of blessings. It was a little piece of furniture in the holies of holies. It was a 2x2x4 piece of wood overlaid with gold on top of it. It was in the holy of holy places where the high priest went once a year with blood sprinkled there on the mercy seat and got out of the holies of holies. That was the mercy seat. The two cherubims looked down upon each end of that mercy seat. It was where the glory of God was represented to the people of the nation of Israel. This ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. It represents us today, how that God is with his people of the ark. The ark is Jesus Christ. Now, all the world, all the people this day, maybe 7 billion people on the face of this earth. We don't know how many they are. I guess it'd be around 7 billion people. There is only one place in all 7 billion people or more that God will meet with those 7 billion people. There's only one place at this time of all the nations of the world at the time of Joshua, time of Moses, there's only one place for all the nations of the world, but there was only one place that God met with the people, and that was in the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat. On this place, God did not go down to any other tribe. This is where God met with everybody at the mercy seat at the Holies of Holies. Now, our Holies of Holies is Jesus Christ. God, the eternal God, meets only for all nations, for all people, for all the world, only meets in one place that you might meet a holy God, and that is in Jesus Christ. There's no other place, there's no other plan, and there's no other person that you might be able to meet God except in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our mercy seat. He is our ark this day. Now, the ark, this is not Noah's ark, as you might know, but we find out there was three things in this ark. There was the Ten Commandments, the stones of Ten Commandments. There was Aaron and rod that budded. And there was a manna, a pot of manna that they picked up every morning that God provided for them except on the Sabbath day. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God be with us. In this treasure chest, the Ten Commandments, that represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But not only that, Aaron's rod that budded, it was an old dry, dead stick, but it budded and it blossomed. And that represents Jesus Christ's death and his burial, but his resurrection is what the Aaron rod represents. The resurrection in that box is called the ark. But not only that, there was a pot, a golden pot of manna. And this golden pot of manna, it fed and sustained the people all through those 40 years. It met every need that they had, the substance, and empowered them as they was walking around the desert for 40 years. That's what's in this, what they call the box of covenant, or this chest of covenant. That's in Christ Jesus. Everything that you need and everything that you ever need is in Jesus Christ, the same as it was at that time. Now, Commander, when you see the ark move, you keep your eyes on the ark. When it moves, you go after it. Why? Because you've never been this way before. That's what God's telling us. You see Jesus Christ move, go after it. For 40 years, they wandered. But there is something now is fixing, drastic happened to them. Really something different is fixing to happen to these people after 40 years. It's going to happen in the life of God's people. A great change is fixing to take place in God's people because of some things I'm fixing to tell you in the verse of scriptures. What caused this change to take place? Well, was it the ark? Well, not necessarily. They had been with the ark and had carried this ark around with them for 40 years. Ever since God showed them how to make it, when they made it, they began to carry this ark. They moved this ark around and around with them. In their midst, the tribes went forth, and it was in the center of the nation Israel as they traveled forth with the 12 tribes. The ark was in the middle, and they carried this ark around with them for 40 years. Was it ark that made the difference? No, but it was the position of the ark. Position of the ark. That made you and I the same today. They had the possession with the ark all the time. It had been in their midst. They had carried the ark around with them. It's the same thing for you and I and every born again Christian today. We have the ark with us. We have in us Jesus Christ. The difference really was not the ark, because the ark was no longer in their midst. The ark was out in front of them. The ark was out leading them. The same thing for us today. It's not just enough to have Jesus Christ in us, in the midst of us. It's the leadership. It's when we bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ and confess, Lord, you are the leader. This is the great difference that took place in their life. Not with the Lord taking that. With them, we all have that, but they followed after the law, after the ark. Jesus Christ says, come and follow me. Now, some Christians have victory and some do not. Some Christians have victory and some do not. Now, remember now, as I said, 20 years old and older, everyone died in the wilderness. That don't mean they didn't go to heaven. That was God's chosen people. But they never crossed over Jordan River in the victorious living that God intended for them to have. They died because of unbelief. There's a many a Christian today will die. They will die, and they will never live the victorious Christian life that God intends for you and I to live. We will be dying in the wilderness. Some people have this victory and others do not. Both possess the same thing. Every Christian possesses the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, do they not? If you don't have the Spirit of Jesus, you're not saved. You're lost. Every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit of God. But it's just not possessing it, it's the position. When the ark becomes the leader, when Jesus becomes the leader, every Christian is a possessor of the ark. Every Christian is a possessor of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. But every Christian are not followers of Jesus Christ. They're not followers. New Year, keep your eyes on Jesus. Victory, seeing which way that Jesus Christ is moving and join him. When you see the ark move, go after it. Now we have three guides that we want to talk to you this morning here about. You know that he will guide you through the uncharted places. And there's some uncharted places you're fixing to go into this coming year, this coming day, tomorrow, next week, whatever it might be. And there's no roadmap to tell us what's going to happen or which way to go. We need the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not? You've never been this way before. New year, new day, new year, adventures to explore the new territory in your life that you've never lived before. Now, we all need a guide to guide us. Now, there was an old steamship, an old steamship days with old boilers on it. They got into a terrible storm. And I tell you, that old steamship, that old boat was cracking. And I'm going to tell you, it was leaking, you know. And the crew got kind of worried, as I probably would be too. And they asked the captain about the situation was at hand about that old cracky ship. And he said, well, this old ship is kind of old and it's leaking and we may go down. And he said, you know, this old boilers on this old ship is very weak and very old. And he said, we might go up. But he said, whether we go up or whether we go down, we're going on. This coming year, some of us might go down. It might be through death. The rapture might come this year. Some of us might go up. Whether we go down or whether we're going up, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Death down, rapture up, we're going to move on. And it says to start, we know as God begins to chart our path for us, we don't have to know where. Oh, we'd like for God to tell us a lot of things, but we don't have to know where. Abraham, when he called Abraham out of the Chaldees, he said, come. And he did. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have to know. We don't have to know where we're going either. He just keep your eyes on the Lord because he didn't know where he was going. That's what God's telling us. You don't know this new year. You never lived before. I'm the only one that knows the future. You know, it's amazing. God don't see the past. I mean, God sees the past and the present and the future all at one time. You know, we can't do that. He says, you know what? He said, I'm the only one that knows. Keep your eyes on me. That's why God keeps us in the dark so many times. There's dark of sickness that we do not understand and probably never will on this side of eternity. We do not understand the sickness that we have to go through and the difficulty sometimes. You know what? God keeps us in darkness many times. You know why? Well, we'll keep our eyes on him. Difficulties we may go through this next year because he wants you to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Noah went into Noah's ark and it says God shut the door. Then there was only one way for Noah to look. There was a window in the top of the ark, and the only way that Noah could look was up. And that's the only way God wants us to look is up. Only way. I'm glad that God don't tell me all about the future, aren't you? I'm glad that God don't tell us about the future. Because if he did, all these demands that's going to be met on us this coming year and all the sorrow and sickness and difficulties, you know what, choke out all of our joy if we just knew the future. Thank God that you don't know the future. Thank God I don't know the future. Man, I tell you, Lord, he knows what he's doing. Thank God he keeps the future from us. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Next thing, we don't have to know when. Timing is far more important than the time. Because mistakes that you and I make, a lot of times we choose to do good things the wrong way at the wrong time. We have an example in the Bible. Moses was called to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. And he started out being a missionary. He got ahead of God and he would turn out to be a murderer. It cost him 40 years on the backside of the desert to ever get that straightened out or for the Lord to get it straightened out for him. Abraham, you're going to be the father of any nation. I'm going to bless all nations through you. I'm going to give you a son. But yet he couldn't wait on God. He wanted his own timing and not God's timing. So Hagar, you know, Sarah's handmaiden, come out with old Ishmael. Now, I don't need to tell you now because today we have a problem in the Middle East. Always have been having a problem because of Abraham's timing. You see, he wouldn't wait on God's timing. He got ahead of God. That's the trouble now. Well, we're ahead of us right now because he got ahead of God's timing. We don't know what, need to know where or when because, you see, God don't explain to us. Oh, Job, you know, he said, God, I want you to explain to me. I don't know why. I want you to explain to me. And he says, Job, where was you at whenever I made this world? And then he answered again in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I can't explain it to you because you can't understand it. Your ways are not high enough to understand. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. You don't think like I do. So we don't need to know where. We don't know to when. But also we don't need to know why. Because we keep our eye on the ark. Now Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it also tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus Christ, He will also grant you through the unfading promises. They will not fade away, the promises of God. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will grant you these promises, he says, through the unfailing promises. Ark is Ark of Covenant. Covenant is a promise, unfading promise, that time cannot fade away. Whenever we take of the Lord's Supper, you see this cup that we take of, he says, a New Testament in my blood and also the broken body of Jesus Christ. That is for all situations, for all saints, for all seasons, and for all situations. That is the promises for us. It will not fade away. Unfailing promises that God has promised every generation. Verse 7 in this same chapter of Joshua says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I was with Moses, and I'll also be with Pleasant Hill." That's what he's saying. With you. Moses died, but my promise will not fade away. Years after years after years. Moses, Joshua, David, Paul, right on down. Your great, great, great grandfather and grandmother, right on down through the years, God has promised these promises to us as Christian people. And right on down through the years of the generation. Now, in Pleasant Hill, there's a lot of our loved ones, our grandparents, has already gone on to be with the Lord. Has been members of this church. Some sat on the wood pile before this church would ever come into existence, either the old church over there, the third old church over there. They probably sat on the wood pile. But you see, God made a promise of the covenant for the nation of Israel, and it will not change. He made a promise for every generation. He said, I'm going to magnify myself to this generation. You know what he's doing that today? He's done that through the people that sat on the wood pile of Pleasant Hill when this church was established. He's done that through the generation of Pleasant Hill, been sitting here by the side of this road. And he's doing it the very same thing to this generation, sitting in these pews right now. And I tell you, if Jesus Christ don't come back, he'll do it to the next generation. When most of us are gone on to be with the Lord, he'll still say, my promise will be unfading promises to every generation, and I'll magnify you before the people this day. Keep your eyes on the covenant promise. It says there in Psalm chapter 19, 89 and 90, for it says, forever, O Lord, my word is settled in heaven, thy faithfulness unto all generations. Thou have established the earth, and it abideth for all generations. And that's the generation you and I are living in. The word of God is inerrant. It is perfect, the word of God. And some say, well, what manuscript they get it from? I'm going to tell you, the word was perfect before it was ever put down in any translation. God's word was already settled in heaven before there was any manuscript, any scroll had ever been written. His word was already settled in heaven before the manuscripts ever come out. For any Bible, any translation ever come out, his word was perfect before all then. The new year that you and I will be going into this coming year, he will guard you with his unfailing power. God will never lose his power. He will guard you through all these unfailing powers that we need this coming year. When the ark moved, go after it. Keep your eyes on the ark. Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 that I just read. Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. If we could read this in the Greek language, it would say, look unto Jesus Christ and look away from everything else. I'm looking at this piano right now. When I'm looking at this piano right now, I'm not looking at the group of people here today. I'm looking at this piano. When it says looking to Jesus Christ, you look away from your problems of difficulties. You look away from your sickness. You look away from the doctors. You look away from the technology. You look away from the medicine. You look away from the hospitals. You look unto Jesus. You look unto Jesus. It's not just looking at Jesus. You're looking away from your difficulties. It might be sickness. It may be your job. It may be the difficulties you're going to have this coming year. It may be a child. Whatever it might be, you don't look at the difficulties. You look at Jesus. When you look at Jesus, you're looking away from your difficulty. They was looking at the Jordan River, and it was over its bank. How are we going to go over into the promised land? Look unto the ark. When they looked unto the ark, they looked away from the river of difficulties. We look unto Jesus. We look unto Jesus. We look away from our difficulties. It's so easy for us to look at our difficulties, is it not? The problem that we have today. Now, Satan, you ought to be here Wednesday night. We've been talking about Satan for about a couple of Wednesday nights, trying to identify him in our lives. He should be here. But you see, you know what Satan will do? He will either terrify you or either he will entice you. With your problems, your difficulties, your sickness. He will terrify you. Or either he will entice you if you keep your eyes on your problems instead on Jesus. That's what he intends to do. Looking unto Jesus Christ, not unto all of our sickness, but looking to Jesus Christ for our difficulties. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders if you do this. You nation of Israel, y'all keep your eyes on the ark. Tomorrow God is going to do wonders among this nation. Just keep your eyes on the ark. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You're going to find out what he's going to do to all the rivers of difficulties. You see, Jesus told old Peter to get out of the boat and come walk under me if you want to walk on the water. And old Peter jumped out and took off till he took his eyes off the Lord. He could walk on the water till he took his eyes off the Lord. He said, look unto me. Don't look at the river. I mean, don't look at the waves. Don't look at the wind. Look at me. He could walk on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, what I said, you know what the devil will do? He'll terrify you or he'll entice you. And he terrified Peter and he said, oh, Lord, save me. Save me. You know, a lot of times the church, we keep our take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and we start putting them on one another. And you hear grumbling and complaining and whatever. Now, there is in a sense that we need to keep our eyes on other people too, because you see, we are a church and God sets leadership in our churches. And there's a sense, you know what, we need to keep our eyes on our leaders of our church and look at their commitment to have Sunday school teachers. I mean, your people, look at your commitment you have. Look at your deacons. Look at your pastors. I mean, we have a certain commitment we have to do. We need people to follow us, you know, from time to time. You know, we need to set examples for our commitment we have. There's a sense that we need to follow our pastors. There's a sense we need to follow our leaders in which, you know what, we need to follow which God has set up. And now listen to me. If I cause you to keep your eyes on me rather than the Lord, I have failed to do what God's called me to do as a pastor. If I call you to keep your eyes on me than on Jesus Christ, I have failed what God has called me and Brother Marshall to do here as a pastor. You follow me as I follow the Lord. But now some pastor, you know, is he up on television, 1,000 people there in his midst. You know what he's doing? He's causing people to look at him instead of Jesus. I heard people say, man, they flew some of their family members way out of Houston, Texas, and had this quack pray for them like he had some kind of extra power. I'd rather hear an old grandmother on the front porch reading her Bible there, praying for me, than that quack out there in Houston, Texas. Got, I don't know how many thousand people think he's got some kind of special power. He don't have any power because he's a liar. I didn't call his name, did I? He's a religious racketeer. Power comes from obedience. And I tell you, some grandmother on the front porch got more power than what he's got. And so beat it to what her calling is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, pray for us. We need to be prayed for. And then verse 11 as we move on here. I got to move on here. Verse 11 now. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribe of the nation of every tribe, amen. And it came to pass, as soon as the sole of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the water of Jordan shall be cut off from the water that came down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Time their feet touched this, the priest bearing the ark, the water started and it started piling up. That river of difficulties stopped flowing and started piling up. Now they have tried to figure this thing out. How it happened? I tell you how it happened. God told it to stop flowing and it did. I mean, that's not very hard to figure out. Some, you know, it's amazing how that some of them don't understand it. But when God commands you to do something and you trust him, I'm going to tell you what, he'll make it happen. He'll make it happen. You know, we need to trust the Lord. You know why things don't happen to a lot of people? Because we don't trust the Lord. You mean Christians don't trust the Lord? I'm telling you, a lot of Christians don't trust the Lord like they ought to. And you know what? There's a little bit of touch of that in all of us, including me. You know why? A lot of us, because we don't know the Lord like we should know the Lord. If we knew the Lord like we should know the Lord, we'd trust the Lord like we ought to know the Lord. You fathers mostly, I know that you've had, well, they have kids and mothers, you know, you carry them to swim when they're little things, they can't swim, they can't hardly walk, and you sit them up there on that, in that swimming pool on the side, and you back up, you say, jump to daddy, and they'll sail off after it, can't swim, can't walk, they'll sail right in there in daddy's arm. You know why? Because they know daddy, and they trust daddy, and know daddy will take care of them, and they just jump right into their arms, because they know them. God says, jump! So, not me. I ain't jumping. I can't swim. Well, you don't know God. When God calls you to jump, you don't know God. Because if you knew God like you know your dad, you would sail into that water. To know him is to love him. To love him is to trust him. They said, go into that Jordan River. I'm going to tell you what. They went into that Jordan River. Now, verse 9 and 10. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the word of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby we shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from among you the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All those are going to run out of them. He's going to get rid of every one of them. Now here's a description of what he said there in verse 9. The Lord your God. This is a star. Well, he's going to do this for you, Lord your God. Now, remember what in Psalms chapter 23, and David said the verse there? The Lord is my shepherd. He said, your Lord is going to drive them out. That's your Lord. The second thing, the living God is among you. Jesus Christ, the living God. God is not dead. Second thing, the Lord of all earth. That is the reverence of God and the sovereignty of God. God tell the Jordan River, cut off, stop, and it stopped, the river of difficulties. Every command of God, he will perform in you and through you. When God commands you to do something, he'll perform that in you and through you. As we've been teaching on Wednesday night, you see the kingdom authority. It said that I will give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority over the power of the enemy. Now, better things to come because God is in us. Now, I was reading that in their bodies right now on the face of this earth, we have 14 pounds per square inch of pressure on our body, all over your body, 14 pounds a square inch, all of us right now. Why are we not just crushed all this pressure on our bodies right now? Because we have the same amount of pressure inside to counteract that pressure on the outside. Now listen to me. Spiritually, it works the same way. Spiritually, it works the same way. Greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater pressure on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside. It works the same way. And that's what keeps Christians from being crushed in a time of difficulty, time of sorrow, and time of sickness, those that follow the Lord, because greater he that's in you, you got pressure on the inside to keep you from being crushed. God is with us. God is with us. That's the reason people can keep going and keep going no matter what difficulty they are. And you're going to need it one of these days. Every one of us. Verse 14 through 16. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tent to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bore the ark were coming to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bore the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, and Jordan overflowed all its bank all the time of the harvest, that the water which came down from above and rose up upon heaps very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zartan, and that came down toward the sea of the plains, even the salt sea, failed and was cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Now, let me explain this to you. This is very, very important. Very important. The Jordan River is a river of judgment. The Jordan River is a river of judgment. Now, everything that flows through the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. And there's nothing that ever flows in the Dead Sea has no outlet. There's nothing that ever flows out of the Dead Sea. Always it's flowing in, and everything it goes into the Dead Sea dies. Jordan River is a river of judgment. Now, it's 13,000 feet below sea level, the bottom of the Dead Sea. That is the lowest place on planet Earth, is the Dead Sea. As I said, nothing can live in the Dead Sea. The river of judgment ends in death of the Dead Sea. Now the ark, as I told you, is a picture of Jesus Christ going into the river of Jordan and the river of death. And the river stops flowing. You remember that Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist? Guess what? It says over against Jordan. They say it's the very same place that the nation of Israel crossed over Jordan is where he rolled back sea, is where John the Baptist baptized Jesus at. But now Jesus Christ, he went into our death river. He went into our death river. When he went into our death river, the same thing as Art went into death river, it stopped flowing. He stopped death. They stopped everything. They piled the water, piled up, stopped the water stopped flowing into the Dead Sea. It stopped. Now listen to what it says. The water stopped flowing all the way back to the city of David. I mean, the city of Adam. Now, the city of Adam. It says in the Bible, in Adam all die, and in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, as I say, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. He was baptized into our death. Same place. Now, Jesus Christ went into our river of death, and he stopped death. He stopped judgment all the way back to Adam. When Jesus died, he stopped death all the way back to Adam. And all the way down to the Dead Sea, he stopped it. You will not go into the Dead Sea. You will not have to worry about death. Not talking about these bodies, but about the soul and the spirit. You will not have to worry about death. Jesus Christ went into your Jordan. He went into your river of judgment. He stopped the waters of death that flows over you. You will not have to worry about going into that Dead Sea because Jesus Christ made that resurrection. He stopped the waters that flows over me, that flows over death. Now, that river of death, he stopped it, a judgment, that you and I won't have to pass through that judgment. And in closing here in just a moment or two, we have a baptism tonight. This is a beautiful illustration of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Got two young men going to be baptized tonight. And baptism is a funeral. It is a funeral. Now there will be some mourners here tonight. And the mourners will be here. It will be only the devil and his demons. That's the only mourners that will be here. Everybody else will have joy. And what the devil and his demons would like to say, reason they're mourning and they see these two young men that's already accepted Jesus Christ in their heart and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them, repenting of their sins. These demons and these devils, as I say, they're going to be mourning because they're going to look at these two men and they're going to say, boy, I had some great hopes for these two young men. I had great hopes that I could ruin their life and I could cause heartache and pain to their mothers and fathers. And I could just ruin their life as they become young men. But now I've lost all that. Now greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. That Jesus Christ went into our river of difficulties and our river of judgment. And he stopped those waters. And he gave him these two young men and you and I here today a brand new life in Jesus Christ. We never have to worry about judgment anymore. Jesus Christ done that for every one of us. All the devil here today, if there's someone that never accepted Jesus Christ, he don't want you to accept Jesus Christ. He wants you to understand that when he gets through with you, I'm going to tell you what, you go wish you had never been born when Satan gets through with you without Jesus Christ. Now, there's some river of difficulties here today. There's a river of judgment. You say, and Jesus Christ has made a way. Keep your eyes on the ark. We're going into new territory. Uncharted place, unfailing promises, unfailing power. Keep your eyes on the ark this coming year because you're going to need it. Look unto Jesus Christ, not unto our problems. If I could just learn this message, I hope I can do what I'm preaching to y'all. It's easy said, is it not? Do you believe it? How about practicing it? You know, a lot of people hear a sermon. You know what? Doing a sermon is a whole lot harder. I know myself because God speaks to me before he ever speaks to you. Just do the sermon. If we could just do what God tells us, to keep your eyes on Jesus. We're going through some uncharted places, some unfamiliar territory this coming year. Jesus Christ has already been there. I'm so glad he stopped my river of judgment. I don't have to worry about flowing into that death sea anymore. Because I'm going to live forevermore with Jesus Christ. We come with a song of invitation this morning. God's moved on your heart. If there's a person here who's never accepted Jesus. And remember now, even though that you're saved, there's difference in Christians. The difference is not that we don't possess Jesus Christ, because we do. If you're born again, you possess Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God lives in you. But it is what makes the difference of Christian today is the position of Jesus Christ. Is he out in front of you? Is he leading you and your family? Is he leading you into the commitment of this church? Is he leading you the commitment that he ought to be leading you in? Are you following him? That's the difference with Christians. We all have it. If you're saved, you're saved. We got it. Lives with us. But not just possess it. It's the position that we follow Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord? Yes, he is. Do you bow your knee and confess him as Lord of your life? As we stand here now with a song of invitation.